Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, good evening, good evening. Welcome to the Hump Day Special and Soul True Radio on the Raw. I'm your host, Michael Lewis Ingram. And as always, it's good to have you in the house. Soul True Radio on the Raw, proudly sponsored by BASNNewsroom.com and the Assassins of the Black Athlete Sports Network. Get all the good shit. Who, what, when, where, why, and how, right here, right now, at www.basnnewsroom.com. The brothers will be in about an hour and change because our movie fest continues. We are still in the middle of sci-fi, sci-fi month, not week, as we have celebrated things science fiction, and we are also celebrating anniversaries, hot dogs and spaghetti, the dinner du jour, and it was really good, but the movie's even better. I Married a Monster from Outer Space. Now, that's not necessarily true, but I know a lot of motherfuckers will probably say, you sure right about that. We got to get back to some old school 1950 sci-fi. This came out in 1958. And I think in the same year, there was another movie out that was called Mars Needs Women. I don't know what they need them for, but they need them anyway. And they were shy about asking. Let's ask what's going on here as we join our newlyweds, we're going to be experiencing wedded bliss for all of about 45 seconds before the shit hits the fan.
Your brother's not for your parents, that's bad luck. Well, now you're so smart, Harry. How did he never figure out a way to fight that?
Did he?
Well, you know, you're making sound because there's no message.
Mass suicide.
Why don't you turn your lights on, you dummy?
Jimmy, where are the lights?
Lights, huh? I guess I forgot.
God? God, how did you choose?
I told you I just forgot.
Bill? I know you've been absent-minded lately, but you can't have a honeymoon without a bride.
Oh, shit.
Christian.
There goes a woman.
Anybody we know?
No, barrel.
Never seems to get out much anymore.
Wife must get to see him a lot.
You've been married practically a year, Sam.
I have too.
But even a coal miner gets time off.
All right, now what's wrong with you? The evening still got braces on its teeth.
I'm worried about Carol.
Who's Carol? Wife.
Brady, you are a home
wreck. I'm not tired. Thank you.
That doesn't look like me at all.
You were turned inside out.
Wayne, but I think I'll stay the way I am.
Not bad, either. Seriously, Marge, there's no reason why you and Bill can't have a half dozen kids.
You can marry me,
dear. Well, life doesn't always run on a timetable. Giving you every test in the book, you check out fine. Don't worry. Doris and I were married 5 years.
Thank you,
guys. Why don't you have Bill come in soon?
Why now?
I'm afraid we didn't have very good luck with the anniversary present, Marge. Hope he's dead. distracting himself. I think his column is too tight. But he did. I don't want you getting yourself upset. You go back upstairs. I'm sorry, man.
About what?
About the gold. I think maybe I'm about gold.
Maybe. I saw Dr. Wayne today.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. He took all kinds of tests and things.
Yeah. What kind of tests?
Find
out if I need children. Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with me.
There's
nothing to worry
about. No. Except what? Mm-hmm.
Dr. Wayne thought, in case they don't get angry.
Why should I get angry?
I don't know. It's even amazing reaction to anger. It isn't worth it. Sorry, I said it. You were Bill's twin brother in some other place.
I don't have a twin brother.
Oh, of course you don't.
I'm going to talk to Wayne.
You said.
What did Dr. Wayne think? Sure.
Again. Okay. Hi.
Hi, something.
Well,
Van Zandt. Hello, Sarah. Hi, Billy Boy. I need some information on that policy, so will Van Zandt.
I'm a little tired. Did you see this way?
Sure. I don't know what they're going to say when you're
old. How about that? Dutch.
You are going to join me?
I didn't get engaged today.
I haven't seen you back in Britain since you were married before.
Well, I guess I lost my taste.
Well, you're going to drink that and just hang on.
You know why I lost my taste with you?
I got the policy.
I don't need it.
Make my mistakes at first. Then I'm going to show.
No. Where in this place? But the grind pretty loudly. I bet you could have before you came here. I'll say one thing to you. They may not be very bright, and their bodies fall apart and we make it a quick short time, but they do manage to enjoy themselves.
Instead of being the kind of human being,
they've been killing the methane on those warped bodies. You're due to report to the ship tonight. I'll get the policy.
Have I been getting off base with you? Well, what I mean is the last couple of months you've been clamming up on me every time you've been out in the beach together. So I thought maybe I made
some...
Bill?
Get the fuck out.
I'm not sure. Oh my God. He'll be easy.
He'll be about what?
I saw it in the study. Where did you go?
Off the water.
It's pretty late. Mr. Alexander, when I say who giveth this woman a marriage, please say at me. Now that's good. Let's relax and we'll try to get with you. Mm-hmm.
Sam's already married.
Oh.
for a minute, you had me worried. You can be a good reason why you should marry. Not good one. And I can't tell you. And it may not be true of Sam, I just don't know.
What may not? Honey, I don't know what's bothering you, but it's not going to keep me from marrying Sam, I love
him. You may be wrong. I'll just tell you anyway.
But it's all available. Mm-hmm. I don't know what you're
Would you
mind a bit? It needed to be fixed after a bit of a time. If you
don't, maybe somebody.
Mm-hmm. Where'd you see?
Why not?
You know, if you want to do allergies, you can go
home. Maybe you used to have one.
But if you used to do that, you didn't. I think I'm way ahead with you. That's funny, today. That's okay. I'm sure I know it is just how I'm in Sam getting married, but I don't know, maybe I'm just getting sentimental. Maybe I'll begin with Sam. It's hard to. Last few weeks, you changed. You've gone away.
I'm sorry.
Yes.
I'm sorry.
Going nowhere for the last half hour.
I'm tired.
What's your name?
John Smith.
Your address?
I'm looking for an address.
You found it. Hey, James.
I ain't that up, but watch.
Watch what?
The car level out the game that I'll offer to this car. Couple weeks ago, I brought loads of the barn grill. Yes, to the Guilford. Yes, to the Guilford.
Who was it?
All right, to the Maritime.
I figured the marriage don't pay. Otherwise, I found some folks around town on the loose. Who was she? Look, all I've been doing is hanging around hoping one night she might decide to take off again. The last time I heard, the wall gets up.
The permit for that gun you're carrying?
What makes you think I got a gun?
Come on.
Well, you're too much to quit. Oh, bro, she's back in about months. She thinks it's like us. You ain't taking me no place. So you're wrong. I am.
Criminal type.
And he is to it.
Is that a shot?
Just a car back there.
From your husband, Orange. But you don't want me in here.
Rating you Kathleen's got it. The other one. Excuse me, honey, but have you got the time? Who cares what time it is anyway? You know, I've had a bad habit. I always go around telling men, honey, now that's a bad habit. It gives them ideas. I hope you don't get many ideas. Crazy about dolls. Would you like to buy me a doll? You as a gentleman, you'd at least speak to me. Hey, you. Look at me when I'm talking to you.
Go to the end, sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise. That is, if what you want out of life is leftover picnic lunches. What do you want out of life?
Friends, we're in mixed company.
Oh, they're all married.
Where are you? The only trouble is if they're married to us.
Your arm's shot. You know, nobody's ever believed you once had a tryout pitching for the New York Yankees. How come they didn't sign her out?
Carolyn's from Georgia, and every time she said Yankee, she put the word damn in front of it.
Daddy was just right. But I tell you what, really, look happened. The day the scout came
flying,
I had a sore arm.
What was that from? Fishing too often?
Oh, no. It was from wrestling with Ted in the back of that darn old convertible of his.
I never could manage to get this out though. I went with Sam and I had war boat a long time. The challenge and I came back from honeymoon.
Couldn't stop me for 2 weeks. Well, you still haven't stopped.
Maybe, but I breathe in between.
Sam fell overboard.
Oh, he can swim like a fish.
But he's not swimming.
He's dead.
But he was still alive before you fed him the oxygen.
No. I understand. It's impossible. If anyone asks me, I have to say it was the oxygen.
guard, you want to spend the rest of your life in the asylum.
I'm not insane.
If you are, you go around talking about monsters and reading doors. Everyone else will.
Hello? Is this watching the monster?
I'll check on it and call you back.
How much?
$1.60.
We'll go out right away.
Right away. Something else that came us halfway across the universe would come to a planet in an hour. Our sun became unstable, so we built a station. We have to carry all our people safely away before our sun exploded. But it took time to build those ships. And in that time, as our sun's rays became more intense, our women died. But we went on anyway, a race into extinction. You have no idea how real life is. Cold, cold smiles.
Did you love the women before they died?
No, we came together for beating purposes only. That's why it's taken me so long to understand.
Understand what?
Something happened that we had to pursue. Along with these bodies, we inherited with other people as well. Human desires, emotions.
Are you telling me you're learning how to love?
I'm telling you I'm learning what my baby is.
Your race has no women. It can't have children. It will die out.
Eventually, you'll have children.
Come
with
me.
Mind you, I didn't know you so well. I gave you a strong sedative to keep you under observation.
Even I told you the truth.
Now, don't you worry about it, Mrs. Farrell. Why don't you drop by the office in the morning so that we get straight? Say, there's no way of telling whether any given man is a monster or not. It's a company for help. And you know, I'm not one.
I don't. I need to try.
No,
Marge, I'm not. You've got to destroy your ship. Otherwise, they'll overrun the earth and we'll be there, won't you?
I need help. The only trouble is, how can I tell the men I go to for that help? Are human?
Marge, Dr. Wayne. Gerald, he's done it. Have a cigar, Marge. Have a cigar, Dr. Wayne.
Twins. Oh, that Southern Belle mine is really linked. This is trying to build a Confederate army all by herself. Marge, you bet on me.
Why?
I don't want Bill waking up and finding the girl. Don't worry, Marge. I know where to get our men. Human men.
Well, what's going on?
I'll tell you later. Come on.
And I don't care what you do to me now.
I couldn't do it.
We're going to be flat.
Nine dogs and us one for once. It'll be okay. Keep calling, please.
This is Bill Powell. My wife's not going to talk to you every night.
Chance you won't find out. Of attacking this ship. Thank you.
wire and some kind of broadcasting service. Excellent. Welcome to the real human body. Get the ones off the street. Memories. In that case, all we got to do is smash these things. Wait a second. What's that mean? Destroying the shell might also destroy the human. What choice we got?
None.
People who want. That makes you happy, that's best. What are you happy with? What about any emotion? Let's begin to learn.
Well, that's one way to take a hint the fuck out. I married a monster from outer space. Well, you could have added the word could have or might have but Mary, or did it put some another meaning to it? We're coming out of the sci-fi phase, and we're going to have to it's not been fun for some, but for others, they live to fight another day, and the earth is here, and we're still like, yay, human beings. Oh, well. Later on, before Sunday, we shall have a couple more movies. Sunday, the witching hour, 2 a.m., when we leave daylight savings time, we shall conclude our adventures here. As I'm trying to get us back to reality. Man, oh, man. But hold on, y'all. Something new has been added. As we are trying to escape this never comes off. It never comes off like you want. Here we go. Don't know whether the rest of the brothers are here or not. I'll check as soon as I get off the screen, because we do have some business to take care of. The young man of the field generals, CV. Slugging through, okay. The trade deadline was October 31st, and a couple of teams made significant moves. My Philadelphia Eagles picked for safety. A couple of trades are made around the league. The 49ers got somebody. We are trying to get out of here, stay, and still can't get out. Oops. There we go. Where are we? Okay. So, as it stands right now, the National Football League has decided it's going to be let's get on. I got my brother Tony McLean with us, and, you know, one thing I found out, I also have brother Fred with me, the 1950s movies showcased cars. This particular movie showcased a Plymouth Fury, or at least I thought it was a Fury. It was the Fury or DeSoto. What kind of cars were in your household? Were you a Ford man, a Chrysler, or GM?
Oh, my dad had the old, he had a bunch of Buicks, including a deuce and a quarter. So I guess
there you go.
That's GM. I think that's GM.
Yep. My pop was Oldsmobiles. My pop was Oldsmobiles and Buicks. Fred, what about you? What were you, Oldsmobile? Rather GM, Buick, Ford, what?
Well, good evening. Based on my memory, I think we most people in our area drove Fords. And because and it didn't matter if you were black or white, most of the cars were Fords. Pickup trucks were Fords and a few Chevrolets, and then we also had tractors, but most of them were Fords. And this is going back to the late 50s, early 60s.
Interesting. Now, I'm seeing how Fords were kind of like a status symbol. Certain stations use them all the time. I remember the ABC affiliate in New York. All the programs seemed as if everything was a Quinn Martin production, so Fords were used exclusively. We're going to show you The Invaders, which is another show that was very popular in the 50s, as we do our sci-fi crime fan show. But I can't say if one was better than the other. What I can say was that there was a standard of quality that was consistent. If you got a car, it was going to last. I got Gary here. So I think he's working on his car as he speaks. Gary, what kind of car did Paul bring in?
Every year, the music is getting back. Every year.
Status symbol.
Yes.
I don't know if we decided to inspire the Cadillacs one year, but my pop always liked those mobiles. I don't know why. I guess they were as dependable as he was, so he just stuck with something that worked. And, of course, Olds were affordable. I have to say, all the cars I've had so far, I had two Oldsmobiles at this bunch, and they both ran very well. I really like my Cutlass Supreme I got in 93. Did you have a favorite car, Fred, Tony?
Did I have a favorite what?
Car.
I've kind of followed my brother, like his kids. Most of their cars were Fords. I did go Dodge for a while. Because at one time my ex was driving this Pinto, and of all things it was like a Pinto wagon, but it was also four or five speed. She could drive it. I could only drive it almost in the yard because. Our yard was above the street, and getting in and out of that was crazy. But the first car I purchased on my own was a Ford Granada, 1975. And that was the only two door I ever bought myself because. Mm-hmm. By the time you get to kids and stuff, kids and two doors don't go together.
I heard that shit. Tony, what was your first ride? Tony, you there? What was your first car?
He's probably doing what I'm doing because I got one eye on the baseball game.
Well, what is your assessment of the series so far?
It's so-so. It's kind of crazy. I'm not down with either team. And the thing that I'm noticing is this is almost like watching hockey. I can't, you only got a black person here and a black person there. And, hey, not that I'm so racially involved. I just happen to note it. And most of the brown people that you see in the games are actually foreigners.
I hear that.
Yeah. Michael, this is the lowest rated World Series in 35-40 years.
Really?
And well, there's a reason for that. Because number one, Arizona's a I give all the kudos for winning, but people gotta say, no, we don't want to see this.
Well, that's I don't know what the ratings or any of that stuff is, but the other thing that I look at is the World Series was on last night. And this is what, let's see, we had two games. I think they split the first two. And then you skip Sunday. Well, you know, the Holy Football Day. And then you go back
on Monday.
Monday, Tuesday. And guess what? I forgot the game was even on.
No shit. Now, I got to ask.
I was actually flipping to the news, for local news, which is on the Fox station at 10 o'clock. And lo and behold, maybe somebody has finally scored or is about to score.
Yeah.
But anyway, I'm looking for the news to check some local reports about shooting or something for local news. And lo and behold, the game was on Monday night. This was a few minutes after 10. And see, this is crazy too, because you know, think about it. All the games are basically west of the Mississippi. And I mean, it's cool out that way, I guess, but on this side of the Mississippi, come on, this is really starting kind of late.
Does this matchup disappoint? I mean, Arizona and Texas was a likely possibility, but nobody really thought it was going to happen. So are you disappointed that you're looking at these two teams right now?
Okay, remember, I'm a Pittsburgh Pirates fan. We don't do much. The only thing we do to make the news after 4th of July is trade somebody to do. and you know, and Tony reminded me, I want to say mid-August, that we were still in contention, you know. And I'm thinking, no, you're messing up our record, because we haven't had good baseball in Pittsburgh since our last series was more 79. We are family,
yeah,
and all that, where we had
that's
the football.
Yeah, I like that World Series.
So, you know, I mean, but now on the real, it's disappointing all around to me, because see, I'm looking at this kid that's up at bat now for Arizona. You know, I can't really tell by his name if he's Hispanic or mixed black, but he's about two shades short of white. The gruffest thing you got out there is both managers need a shave.
Think about this. Bochy is going for his fourth World Series. Who would believe that?
Well, look at it. Baseball have been looking to expand its format for the longest time. We were hoping that something would catch on and renew fan interest. Now, for you guys that are diehards, that makes no difference. But do you really think that new fans have been turned on by what baseball has done over the last few years?
Okay, Michael, I like the three game wild card. That's correct.
Mm-hmm.
But they got to do something about because an 84-win team did not beat the World Series.
Right.
I don't know what they can do about it, but they
haven't done
it. To me and deep in the game. We got 84 deep in the World Series.
Okay. Well, is there anything that can be fixed about it? I mean, we see a wild card team in football make it to a Super Bowl by getting on a hot streak and winning a few games.
Mm-hmm.
But can an 84-win team really rock the house and win a World Series? Because that's pretty much their following the team.
Well, I'll just say this. The 73 Mets won 83 games and pushed the A's to 7 games. Now, granted, that was almost 40-something years ago, but
mm-hmm.
and if I remember when the Twins won in 91, I don't think they won 90 games that year either.
Yeah,
somewhere around in there. So teams with less than 90 wins getting there is not an anomaly. Again, if you want to look at the whole, if you want to look at it, you know, historically again. Because, see, look, again, and I get it. People, you know, may not be crazy about this matchup, and and I'm probably the wrong person to ask because I'm a baseball person. I'm gonna watch it, no matter what. But that being said, look, the two teams that had the home, I don't mean to beat a dead horse, but it has to be said. The teams that had home field advantage in the league championship series lost games 6 and 7 at home.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they were getting, you play all year to get home field advantage, and then, remember, the Astros beat out Texas to win the West. And then Texas repaid them by beating them in games 6 and 7 at home.
But remember, the Astros and the Raiders had identical records.
Yeah.
They were dead even in game 7.
But the Astros had the home game 7 and they lost it.
Yep.
I'm not going to punish somebody for winning 2 road games to get to the World Series.
Yep,
I can't punish them for doing that. To me, the onus is on the team with the home field advantage. And granted, historically, we've seen teams win Game 7s on the road. Those two Pirate teams that won in 71 and 79 won Game 7 on the road.
Mm-hmm.
So, I get it that, folks may not be crazy about the matchup and they might not be crazy about the format, but under this format, this is the first time that we've had, where you may have, I hate to say that whole they're not deserving because you do play to win. As corny as it is, you play to win the games.
That's
and
right.
To me, look, win the home game. Win game 7 at home, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Win game 7 at home, and then we're not talking about this. Now, I know the ratings. You knew the ratings were going to be, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of it is just, folks, a lot of it is, this was happening long before Arizona and Texas got here, but it just adds to it even more. When you get this sort of matchup, but see, and to me, the very same people who aren't crazy about this matchup are also the same ones that don't want to see the Yankees and don't want to see the Dodgers and don't want to see the Cardinals and don't want to see the Astros. So it's like, okay, at some point, what do you want then? If you don't want the underdogs, if you don't want the favorites either, you know, what do you want?
You bring up a good point, Tony. Think about this. You know, we know that the football money is split between all 32 teams. So quiet is kept. They don't care who gets in. Everybody gets beaten. Everybody gets a piece of the pie. Basketball, they get shares as well. But baseball, you get the feeling that, all right, even if it is split equitably, there's an imbalance. Baseball has not felt like it's been competitive for years. It's always like the same three or four teams are juggling, fighting for position and stuff. And even with the expanded wild card formats, it doesn't go beyond that. Am I right or wrong here?
Yeah, I think that's correct. But you know, and also, you throw in the craziness with the regional networks that have been struggling all over.
True.
You know, all those old Fox stations are now Bally Sports. And, you know, a lot of teams, you know, a lot of the bigger market, you know, that whole big market, small market thing gets brought up a lot, too, because, look, you've got teams like the Dodgers, the Mets, the Yankees, the Red Sox that have their own networks.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have, and, you know, the Cubs, you know, the Cubs have their own network. And even for some of the ones who aren't considered quote unquote large markets have a huge following. You know,
true.
The Braves still have a huge following. The Cardinals mm-hmm. still have a huge following. To a certain extent, Houston has a huge following. Now, and this is where we get into, you know, would you consider now if St. Louis, my argument, do you consider St. Louis a large market? Do you consider Atlanta a large market? You know, it's funny because I watched the documentary today on the Athletics franchise. Now, the A's are basically working on their fourth city in
the last
60 or so years now. You know, remember they originated in Philly.
Kansas
City. Now they went to Oakland, and now they're basically on their way to L.A. I mean, to Vegas. Now, when the A's were considered a quote-unquote small market team, they were the best team in baseball. And
true.
you had an owner that if he had spent a few more bucks, They could have had a dynasty for how long or how little or what have you.
A's had personality. A's had characters. A's had charisma.
Gary, let's be fair. A lot of us only saw the A's during the playoffs because their games were on late. Yeah, they'd be on the occasion. You know, they'd be on the game of the week maybe once or twice a year.
Yeah,
they didn't. You know, remember. There was less baseball on TV back then when they played.
Yeah,
true.
And it's you know you didn't have MLB Network, you didn't have cable or what have you. You didn't even the regional stations. You didn't have the regional stations that you had. I mean, now you were like look
mm-hmm.
here in
well in the
you
south,
know,
the south we had it. In the South, we had the Atlanta Braves because what's that nutcase name? Out of Atlanta,
Ted Turner.
You know, and that was kind of your, other than Saturday, game of the week kind of stuff, unless you could somehow or another get the New York teams. You remember this was pre-cable, this was pre-satellite, the works. Because we watch, you know, that was like going to church for us when it came to baseball at our house or my brother's house. You watched the Atlanta Braves because that was who was on during the week. Saturday game of the week, and you know, and if you were on a real good great week, you had a doubleheader. And then beyond that, you had Friday night football or basketball or high school. You had Saturday was
colleges
football, basketball for colleges,
mm-hmm.
and Sunday was NFL, and followed by Monday NFL.
Yeah,
all the rest of the
mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
The
other days, you know, you had to have that's when you had to have your real good TV shows because that was every force.
Mm-hmm. Well, to piggyback on what Fred said, you got to remember one of the reasons why ABC took Monday Night Football. They were the last resort because they went to CBS first, and CBS basically said, "What? Take off Doris Day? That ain't happening." NBC. I don't remember what NBC had on Monday nights back in the day, but NBC was like, you know, we'll pass. ABC was just sort of like, oh, what the hell? We'll take it. And you know, look, it for all intents and purposes, Monday Night Football, to a lesser extent, sort of helped save ABC, at least in the early part, at least on Monday nights, you know.
It did.
And see, the base. I think also with baseball, maybe out of all the four majors, although you could make the argument for hockey as well, it's more regional. Like Fred said, you know, you watch the Braves, and I guess maybe you would get an Oreo game once in a while up in that area. But you know, where I'm at here in Connecticut, it was Yankees, Mets, Red Sox. Just like how for the NFL we would get the Holy Trinity of the Jets, Giants, and Patriots, and
yeah.
I think with baseball, because see, let's face it, pre 90s, maybe even pre 80s, a lot of people followed baseball through the sporting news.
Yeah.
The sporting news builds itself up as being the Bible of baseball because
I admit I used to read the sporting news. You're right. I used to.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
And then a couple of years
sporting news basically was baseball's version of Sports Illustrated. Because even though they hit other sports, but no, they thrived on being the Bible of baseball.
Well, back in the 70s, I remember very clearly, the WOR and WBIX.
Yeah.
OR was the Yankees. OR was the Mets.
The Mets
and BIX was the Yankees, and now they've switched.
Yeah,
and I remember
OR was stronger, because we live in central Jersey, so it's very difficult to get the stations.
Mm-hmm.
So at night, it was coming clear as a bell.
I pray for rain. I used to pray for rain so I could watch a Met game, but see, stupid me.
Yes.
If it's raining in Connecticut, it's more than likely raining in New York too, fool. So it's
hello.
It's crazy. And also, I you know, the one thing, and I always have said this, I still think that baseball doesn't realize how much the 94 strike hurt that, you know, hurt the sport. Because you lost the generation of kids.
Going to win that division, and it was never the same again.
But more so than that, Gary, you lost a generation of kids. I've always felt like baseball, you lost a generation. You know, people forget the synergy that happened in 94. You didn't have a World Series in 94. And also that same year, the NFL was celebrating their 75th anniversary, and you had the throwback jerseys and all. By 94, the NFL had already eclipsed Major League Baseball as the national pastime. But all that did was just push it. It pushed it over the edge even more so. And I truly think, even with all the little stops and starts along the way, they've been chasing. To me, the sport as a whole has been chasing its tail since '94. Yeah. I truly feel that, and I still feel that even up until this day, because to be honest, baseball's World Series ratings been little upticks here and there, because remember, baseball talks about its golden age being when you had the three teams in New York and when you had those Subway Series. But you got to remember, to further my point, the modern day Subway Series here, that was one of the lowest rated World Series because, a lot of it had to do with just the anti-New York or whatever, but also a lot of it was just, people were sick. It's still one of those things like, because remember, when we were going into this playoff, they were saying this was the first time in like a gazillion years that the Yankees, Red Sox, and Cardinals all didn't make the postseason. Mm-hmm. And which sort of goes back to my premise of, okay, so you're saying that St. Louis is a major market or not? See, that's the other thing to me that baseball in a sense still has to define. See, the NFL, like you said, because it's basically 32 fiefdoms, it somewhat doesn't matter. Even a Jacksonville, if they were to go on a run, would generate a bit of a buzz, And with the NBA, other than, we've seen over the past 10, 15 years that you don't necessarily have to be in a major market to be a popular team. The Bulls, won six titles in 8 years. Yeah. The Knicks haven't won since 73. The Lakers have been up and down. The Celtics, up and down, but think of it: Golden State, Milwaukee, Denver, Detroit, Portland. Think of all the quote unquote expansion teams that have either won or played in the NBA Finals. If you go back to when David Stern became the commissioner. This was after Seattle and Washington. Seattle and Washington got to the finals, and of course that was all that it was on tape delay in certain parts of the country. Now, granted, one of the things that turned the NBA around was when Magic and Bird came into the league at the same time. And it rekindled an old rivalry, but
the city boy against the country boy,
and the black white angle too. You can't deny that either. But
Tony, don't you think that a lot of it has to do not just who the great, you know, who what the market is per se, who actually is on the team worth watching in those particular markets? Because you go back and look at some of those old games, you know, no matter what the market was as we see it now, who were the players? Who were the players who were attracting people to the screen? And a lot of times it boiled down, you know, think about it. You had Hank Aaron and all those guys in Atlanta when Atlanta was not, you know, Atlanta was in South. Mm-hmm. There was no, if I remember correctly, I don't remember teams being in places like Florida.
They weren't.
Oh, no.
You know, most of the teams in Florida are relatively new markets.
Absolutely.
The farthest team,
like you said, to the Mississippi was St. Louis. And in many ways, that's why they're still very popular because see, again, you know, and again, I don't mean to beat a dead horse, but to me, it goes back to that whole, I consider St. Louis and Atlanta large markets strictly because, number one, of their fan bases and their successes over the years. To a certain extent, the Braves are still reaping the benefits of being, quote-unquote, America's team for that 10-15-year stretch. And remember, they were god-awful. You know, 90, you know, but when they basically became great in 91, they had already did almost 10-15 years of bad baseball on national TV.
That's
so
true.
So, but to piggyback on what Fred said in regards to the NBA, then you still somewhat have that now. Even though, I mean, I know a lot of people may not be crazy about the NBA, but you do have superstars in different markets. The game in and of itself, it's lousy to me. I go back and forth with it. I think the fact. Let's put it this way. I'll just say this. A guy like James Kardashian's Harden, I think he would have been spit up and chewed up in the old NBA.
By his
playing style and by the fact that, you know, he's a petulant little child when he doesn't get his way. But teams keep trading for him, and I don't get it.
And this team is an ugly man. I don't know what you call it, man.
Put it this way. Say what you want about Spencer Haywood. Spencer Haywood was talented. Spencer Haywood was talented. He was another guy that went through a lot of teams and had a lot of off-the-court drama as well. And maybe I'm the old man in the mountains when I say this, but give me 10 Spencer Haywoods and 0 James Hardens.
How many championships? How many playoff games did I win?
The thing with James Harden, you know, James Harden was part of a big three and didn't like it. But think about it. He was part of the big three but he didn't want to be part of it. So, again, people can bitch and moan about, you know, having a big three is quote unquote bad whatever. But I think for the most part, and again, historically, again, my thing is always, historically speaking, we've had big threes for years, but for whatever reason, everybody's panties got all bent out of shape when we started doing it during this era.
That's right.
So, and see, in this era versus the old era, one, you had the big threes performed. They performed
exactly.
on you know, they performed on the road, all those kind of things. Now, today, we play at home. We may or may not show up, you know, or we may show up in a suit instead of a uniform in today's environment. But then you add to that the fact that, you know, when you think about the big threes at the professional level now, you also got to understand that in most cases you had guys surrounding them who were borderline Hall of Famers.
Exactly.
And you go back and look at some of them, if you know a sport, and we were primarily talking about basketball. You know, truly know basketball, you know, a lot of times you see a lot of guys on these various teams who are not in the Hall of Fame, but if you know the game, they should be. Because because think about it. When you had Magic and Kareem and Worthy, Hall of Famers. But guess what? You had Cooper and several others out there. Hey, take Magic off the court, take Kareem off the court. You still have a hell of a game going on the court.
Absolutely.
Without the superstar.
Hey, you don't have that now. Think about that Laker team. Was Byron Scott all that much better than Norm Nixon? Really?
No, not really.
In retrospect?
But,
go further back. Remember the guys from the old Celtics, and in my humble opinion, you had Sam, you had Bill. But look at
mm-hmm.
those 6'5", 6'6" white boys who were in the Hall of Fame because they were good.
And playing within the
realm of the team, they got to be even better. Same thing with the Knicks. You had Pearl, you had Frazier, you had Reed, but you also had Pearl, and you had all these other guys out there who could perform. And you know, and they sort of flowed back and they were flowing back and forth as far as how much they played and how they produce. But the one thing you can say, though, about those guys, they produce. These cats now, you know, this is my role. I do what I need to do. And you don't have a lot of people out there, like the kid from Virginia Union, who was in the Hall of Fame, undrafted. You know, think about this.
Mm-hmm.
An undrafted free agent who was in the Hall of Fame.
Mm-hmm.
But guess what? There's a drafted free agent from the same school who should be in the Hall of Fame too. That's the Oak. If Oak's not is not Hall of Fame material, there's no such thing as a Hall of Fame. And there's several other guys that don't like that.
Patrick,
and just the, I just want to make this one point. I'm have to go. Gilbert Arenas brought up a real interesting point in his little forum that he does. Now, it's been written into the NBA this year about how they want to do the quote-unquote game management with certain teams and certain players and all this other stuff.
Yeah.
Now, the NBA is basically allowing that in a sense so it can work to their advantage. But remember, this is the same media and the same league that took to task a Hall of Famer for not going to practice.
Right. That's right. And they call it practice.
Now, damn the fact that he played his ass off 100 times at 100 miles an hour in the games, but because he wouldn't go to practice, this made him some sort of alien, or what happened.
Tell the story. Damn the fact that his friend died. He went to management and told them, I lost one of my people. They died. And they said, shut up. Go to fucking practice. That would turn that practice thing on. And
well, you know what? In a sense, the whole Harden situation probably is basketball's karma on them.
I would say so because you got somebody who put it out there on the court every night. I don't think there's anybody on this thread that will say that Allen Iverson ever took a game off. When he was on that court, he was helped out and played as hard as you could possibly play. And to have that come up, the management pissed on him and said, Sherpa, go play. They didn't even say Sherpa and dribble. They just said, it's practice. You got to go down there and you got to be there. That was insulting enough. And Patrick, somebody who's been there in administrative capacity, he had to make you wonder.
Well, first of all, good evening, everybody. Glad to talk with you, man. Well, I think the comparison that as near as split about Iris in game management has relevance to it. And it's a matter, like Fred said, the guys want to play. Now it's am I playing to help the team and assist my brand? So they don't see things both on any one of the same. So the thing with Harden is that the story was amazing. In a sense, he wanted to go back home to California. That's the underlying thing also.
Okay.
But leaving four teams and, he got $200 million alone from Nike. I mean, bruh, what's the real deal? Well, the real deal is that, he wants to, this is his last hurrah. He knows it. So with that in mind, they got somebody to buy into it. It's something that as a fan, I'm not particularly happy with, but it is what it is right now. Which leads more to the fact of players like, for instance, in the past, guys have played on broken legs to keep playing.
Mm-hmm.
That's not the way it is there for some players.
Exactly. Unfortunately, management doesn't think about the big picture. When they put together a threesome and promote them as being, all right, this is the core of a team that we think will win a championship. They can consider the talent. But all the other little X factors kind of go out the window once they start adding up salaries. Sometimes it's too much money and people give up quickly, or some person just can't handle the responsibility that comes with being selected in something like that. Is that fair to say?
That's how some people look at it. This is 2023, where the label of a player and I don't mock players' advantage of dictating where they want to go, but this is what you have to deal with. That's all.
Well, sometimes you got to look. You got to look beneath the surface, and players like coaches. And owners don't really care because, hey, they own. But you got players, you want them to be, quote, happy.
Right.
But, but think about it. As a rule, you know that if you were the new, like right now, there's a kid just signed with Duke University who is already, quote, predicted to be, quote, a number one draft choice, I think, in 25.
Okay.
He played He played a minute of as a senior in high school. He's like a 6'9" white boy who was one of the guys that's going to be coming in with my nephew next year at Duke. And I'm listening to all this stuff about how great they're going to be and how much money they're going to make and all this other kind of thing. And, you know, one of the family members actually said something about, you know, making sure he stays close to his family. Well,
right.
other than the fact that he does not participate in a lot of things with the family because he's away in these camps every weekend, that's his choice. But, you know, I hope like hell he don't go to the Charlotte Hornets. That's home. You know, he don't have to move out of his mama's house if he plays for Charlotte because that's where he lives. But then, you know, you play half your games at home roughly, and then you sort of split your other half of your games between I think it's like 32 teams, so 31 yep. teams, 31 cities during the year.
Right.
There's only so much home cooking you're gonna get, no matter how you look at it. But some yeah. of this stuff, you know, some of this stuff about playing in certain cities. There's some cities that I can honestly say I probably wouldn't want to play in. New York was one. But see, you know, if you're on the East Coast, at least you're going to have two trips to New York to make the round, so to speak, between the Nets, the Knicks, and whoever else is up that way. You got to go to Boston, you know, certainly three or four games a year. And so there's, you know, and remember, in most cases, you don't have, you know, depending on where your next game is, you don't have to stay overnight in that city. And then the other side of that is when you play, you may be going on that night on to your next venue versus play, you know, sleeping where you are. So, you know, some of that stuff is overrated.
90% of the time you're going right after the game.
Because you think about it, nowadays, if you don't fly a private jet, you at least fly a jet for the team jet, and it's a charter.
All the charter.
Correct. A luxury charter. Because I've been on a couple of them, and the first thing we notice is this don't look like first class with American Airlines or Southwest. This is really nice.
Yep.
When you think about it, they serve you a full course meal based on what you want. You know, come on.
Yep. It's a different league, different time. They don't fly commercial anymore. Yeah, no.
They don't fly commercial anymore.
But guys, what makes it important for in front office when they decide, okay, we got Fred, we got Patrick, and let's say Gary's the third guy. Why are they choosing Gary as the third guy? What is it about Gary that's going to make them think there's going to be chemistry between the three of you guys so that the team will be a formidable offensive juggernaut?
Well, let me say this about the situation that they have. Keep this in mind. Two things. One thing, the owner of the Clippers can buy five NBA teams if he wanted to. Number one.
That's
it. And number two, after this year, five guys are going to be free agents. So he said, well, if now or never. So that's the other part of underlying reason that, you know, they're in a situation that they're in now. He's hitting the home run. Yeah. You know, he just got a new arena built. He has to, you know, mm-hmm. fill that place up. So, you know, yeah. I can understand some of the backdrop of this that, you know, folks don't align themselves with because they're using their traditional platforms and how we want to approach and root for a team. Well, it's a business. Keep that in mind.
I know it's a business, but Fred, if, as you say, basketball in Charlotte or football in Charlotte sucks, and you really know that you've got the talent, what is the one thing that you're looking for, aside from being able to dribble, shoot, or score, that's going to make the team concept work where assets will equal B in the seat?
Well, unfortunately, they're not in the seat. And part of it has to do with the fact that you have a ownership team that has not reached across. They haven't reached across the state. Not to mention, they haven't reached across the border, because we have this famous amusement park called Carowinds.
Right.
That's known for about this time last year, they discovered that one of the major supports to their to one of their rides, the supports had broken loose, and because of that, they were actually about to have a major incident. But anyway, they don't see it as a state institution. They see it as Charlotte. Now, Charlotte goes across the border into South Carolina, but Charlotte does not go across the state. There is little to no presence from the Charlotte Hornets in eastern North Carolina. This is the domain of University of North Carolina, North Carolina State.
Yep.
Duke University. Even Wake Forest is a similar distance away, but it's not even there. And because of that, they have not done their due diligence, and still are not doing their due diligence as far as the marketing component goes. So now, whichever one of the Ball brothers is in Charlotte, you don't see his jersey on city transit. You don't see his jersey in the mall, other than the store. You go out to events and stuff. You don't see Charlotte Hornets unless the only thing you see is T-shirts where they gave them away somewhere, and they're not doing the necessary thing to cause the state, to cause the Hornets to be embraced across the state the way you would, even the Panthers. The Panthers just won their first game of the year, right?
Right.
They got more ink for that than the Hornets have gotten the whole year.
Yeah.
Because everybody's joke was, the Panthers were the last team to win a game this year. Really? Oh yeah. What about it? It's so crazy that we see at my church. We do these jersey days. You wear something that denotes what's your team, and it's when people join, the first thing who's your team?
Mm-hmm.
And they play that up. But, you don't see that. You see it for football, the Carolina Panthers or whoever, but you don't see that for basketball, Carolina Hornets?
Mm-hmm.
No.
Yeah, I'm putting pressure because that's football.
Are you a Lonzo Ball fan? No, who is that? If you are in Fayetteville, North Carolina, and somebody asked you about Lonzo Ball or whichever one of the Ball brothers is on the team, they can tell you possibly who he is, but they can't tell you who he passes the ball to.
They don't know
who's inside getting rebounds for him. Mm. You know, that's how sorry a job the Hornets have done in branding themselves across the state of North Carolina. And based on where it's located, because Tony can tell you, you go down 77 or 85 south from either side of Charlotte, in about 15 minutes, you're in South Carolina. Winthrop College is probably the closest to the border. Winthrop College in South Carolina is probably better known in South Carolina than Charlotte Hornets are, because they have not done an appropriate job. And it's not getting any better. You know, we have no TV network here. They're barely mentioned on the news. And I can see, I'm Channel 5, for instance. The news is on now, 10 o'clock. It'll be back on in a few minutes, 11 o'clock. And unless something major happened, real major, happened in Charlotte, you're not going to hear anything about the Hornets.
What paper covers the Hornets? Who's down there and who their beat writer?
The Charlotte Observer.
Okay. Here's one of the failures in Eastern North Carolina. Several of the major Eastern papers, the News and Observer covers some. Our paper, the Fayetteville Observer, covers some. But guess what? The media company that owns the Fayetteville Observer is located in Texas.
Yeah.
So if they're going to cover the Hornets, guess what? They got to go. This story has to go all the way to Texas for editing, writing, editing, etc. Before 10 o'clock.
So
in essence, if the Hornets were playing tonight, if their story wasn't in place half hour ago, it might not get ruined until tomorrow night.
Holy shit.
Yeah, it's the fact that, you know, there's essence to that, but also the fact that there are different media forms, you know, that we have now, platforms that are putting out information, and I concur that, you know, the Hornets' business plan hasn't been one that something that maps the whole state, because the product they're putting on the field, on the court, is not consistent. And like you said, is not making headway to draw people. I think the biggest draw to the Hornets was when Jordan owned it, but you know he wasn't able to pull off what he wanted to do. But the NBA transcends all of that. NBA brand and information transcends all of that. It's just the team has not performed well. But the information is out there because the NBA is going to make sure it's out there.
Well, the NBA, even when Jordan was an owner, they didn't – to me, in my humble opinion, even with Jordan as the quote-unquote owner – or the managing partner, ever what he was, you want to call him, at that time, it was as if the ACC's position in the eastern, across the state of North Carolina, into Virginia, because remember, you got four ACC members in North Carolina, You got two in Virginia, and you have one in South Carolina. Okay? Now, each one of these entities are, I'll say, roughly 3 hours, at least they're at least 3 hours away, maybe in a couple of cases 4 hours, because I know about Blacksburg, but you know, in a marketing perspective, the efforts were not put forth to make the harness part of the athletic or sports landscape, and because of that, they ended up almost. I mean, when they got their name back after the team moved to New Orleans and came back, and they got their name back, they still were not doing what they needed to do to make themselves the team, the pro team for basketball.
By virtue of that,
either one of the four schools in the state of North Carolina in the ACC and could hold sway as far as number of people at games. And the only place that they don't have those numbers would be when they play at Duke, because Duke plays in a dump. Duke does not have 7,500 seats. They don't want them because their TV takes care of the butts in the stands. Because Carolina plays in 20,000. UC State plays in about 17, 18, maybe even 19 in big games. Duke plays at 7,500 or less. Wake Forest plays, I think Joel is about 14,000.
Well, Fred, your point is well taken, because the college basketball in North Carolina, what you're saying has the marketing, and it's the piece in which people are attached to because of the legacy of those schools. And unfortunately, Charlotte hasn't had a team to break into that. That's definitely for sure.
Yeah,
that's a pleasure.
See, you, even in football, you know, you got other than Canaan, which will probably soon be renamed something else because they discovered its place in history. And same thing with NC State. Their football stadium is built on top of a black graveyard. They see 50 plus on Saturdays, and Duke is about 35-40. Wake Forest is about, I think it's up to about 30,000 now. And remember, Wake Forest and Duke are not that big of enrollments. Carolina and State are both 25,000 plus. So you got a student, you know, you got to build in student alumni numbers that are high. But Duke and Wake Forest, they make up for shortfall with the profession that they've produced over the years.
Mainly
doctors and lawyers and Indian chiefs.
No matter how you ship it, Fred, you're talking about a poisonous situation. You would have thought even after Jordan was given the team, there would have been some jump media-wise, something to give you a reason that this franchise could carry on. But the franchise has been, for all intents and purposes, a white elephant. If it wasn't in the NBA, it probably would not exist, Patrick.
Your point's well taken. I mean, again, NBA will sell. How it sells is different. I'm quite sure the conversations that we're having and Fred alluded to, it's noted with the marketing people and on Park Avenue believe that, but they also know that because of a strong basketball history of the area, they will keep a team. They will keep the team there because if they didn't think that, the team would have been gone by now.
True. That's true. Before we get the final thought, I got to throw this one item in. The trade deadline had passed in the NFL, and the Vikings made one intriguing move. Quarterback Dobbs is now a Viking after playing in Phoenix. The Vikings lost their starting quarterback, and they were thinking about several options, and they ended up on Dobbs, who has played well in spite of the fact that the Cardinals hadn't played and won a lot of games. Give me an assessment of this, Patrick.
Dobbs, he'll be there, but they're going to start the boy Hall Minnesota right now because he's in the team longer right now. Let's start with him. He has some ability. He played well at Brigham Young. But Dobbs is obviously a player that, you know, has some ability. I mean, he's with his fourth team in like 4 years. As a matter of fact, if the Browns hadn't got the kid from UCLA, I said we would keep Dobbs. But he had something different to that team, and it was I know people who were – I talked to earlier this week concerning the situation with the Vikings. Everybody knew that this was Cousin Kirk's last year, and Derwin Jefferson, a quarterback next year, one of the top quarterbacks next year into that area. So some trades were – I'm glad that, you know, my fellow Buckeye – Chase got out of D.C. because it looked like it wasn't working out for him. And I know that he was hurt, but the guy got 5 sacks over this year. Jesus Christmas.
Yep.
He's in a situation where he might probably get some more eventually once he gets with the team and learns the system and he fits in because he's going to have him on one side and Bosa on the other side. Somebody's going to get hurt.
Somebody will definitely get hurt. I think that's a good way to set things up for final thoughts. Patrick, go ahead.
I'm looking at the situation at those bitches of North of Ohio, and this yeah, that's what I call them. You damn right, you know. The ghost of what is all with me, particularly during football season. We don't even recognize that they even exist until we got to play them. But I thought that it was, you know, it was something that could be overlooked. But as time goes on, this bad boy is getting more serious than I thought. I think what culminated that for me was when they delayed his extension. What's the old saying? Don't play with the money. Well, they ain't playing with the money. I don't know how it's going to end, but the more I read and the more I'm trying to get to, there's a guy who I know is connected with the team in Detroit, but I ain't been able to contact him. At least I ain't got no response from him yet to see what the hell is going on. It will be interesting because and here's the other, real quickly, the other back end of that. I was surprised to find out. No, I'm intrigued and interested to find out that I thought there'd be a list of NFL teams that he could go to, but they're not the amount of teams that I anticipated.
Mm-hmm.
I'll leave it at that.
There you go, Professor.
I don't know if I mentioned this last week because this report just came out, but I did mention it a few minutes ago when we were talking about the stadiums. But the NBC affiliate, local for us, is actually 60 miles away in Raleigh. But their sports department did a study on the origin of the history of some of the stadiums. Some of the major stadiums across most of the ACC, and they found out that they're built in areas where blacks were predominant, and then you had one, the Keenan Stadium, which is Carolina, University of North Carolina. One of the major actors in the insurrection in Wilmington back in 1898 was none other than James Keenan Sr. They have since renamed it after James Keenan Jr., which is like, well, if Gary was on tonight, I'd say Gary and Gary Jr. Anyway, you know, it's, and then you have NC State's stadium is built on top of a black graveyard.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing with the stadium at Clemson University.
Mm-hmm.
And it shows how callous and careless some people have been over the years when it comes to preserving history and ensuring respect. And, you know, it's like a gentleman from Alabama who has made his living and a killing off of black players. But guess what? Now his two colors have come out. The same thing is coming out with these name of these stadiums. They didn't care enough to even respect the dead when they when they went out and built these stadiums. And don't get me wrong, they knew that these places were there.
Well, that's what makes you angry. They knew. They gave it no moment of respect, no moment of consideration. They knew, and they did it anyway. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's across the country.
You know, I tell people a lot of times, a lot of stuff we get shocked by, realistically, just old news. You see, the first time this has come up, and it's not the last in a lot of places, because, Wake Forest is one of the few that's not the situation. The reason being, Wake Forest is located in the middle of the rich white folks area anyway. So if there's a cemetery underneath it, they're white people. Because blacks were not, for the most part, blacks really were not allowed on that side of the town. If you ever see the video they did with Earl Monroe talking about how he was there, and even better, Cleo Hill,
it
was pretty much the same way. There were places he knew he shouldn't and couldn't go, and by virtue of that, there were places they didn't go.
To
it's amazing that he formed a friendship with the star player, former star at that time, former star player with Wake Forest, because he was, when they were found to be playing basketball in the basketball facility at the time, which is really an old building on the campus. They were told, get them niggas out of here, and they did. And so they played more games against our players over in Whitaker Gym than they did on their campus, because that was the lay of the land at the time.
Well, food for thought indeed. I've got to leave it with this. You know, as of right now, the Colorado Buffalo are 4-4. They could well be 4-5 by Saturday, but it really doesn't matter. The point has been made. You must be respected, and everything you did prior to won't be considered, because there's always the butt thrown in. Well, you're a Hall of Famer, but you won a championship, or at least a division championship at Jackson State. But you upset the team that played for the national championship last year. But you're a nigga.
Well, Mike, I can tell you this.
And all the other gesticulating and look at me That's what it came down to. I'm sorry, Patrick, go ahead.
Until they get some linemen on both sides of the ball, it's going to be rough. That's all.
That, it is going to be rough.
That should be. Yeah. Well,
if
they get some linemen, they can compete in skill wise, but they got to get some guys up front. That's the team's problem, because they really should have at least five or six wins, quite frankly. But they got
to
beat down.
I think they'll be both eligible, but if they get invited to one, they'll get massacred. The coaches who thought big picture, you know, like Coach Banks, Coach Rob, Coach Merrick, you know, they knew I'm going to be mobile, agile, and hostile, not just on the field. I'm going to make sure you know that if you do play me, you will get played. And I don't mean as what. I mean, we will kick your ass. And
the referees will help you.
There's not enough showing that. Exactly.
Sure enough.
There's not enough of that being shown. There's not enough of that being displayed. And I think the point is being made that this is a lark. It's never anything that not to be taken seriously when it comes to black folks. All the time is the quest for being taken seriously, because they know what they have to put up with. They know what they are putting up with, and they know what they're going to put up with in order to make their point. And all these coaches, all these great black men who sit there and watch this, if they're still up and watching, they've got to be pissed. And if he had any kind of sense, he'd be pissed too. I hope everybody had a good trick-or-treat. You will be back at our normal format next Wednesday at 9 p.m. Eastern. And for the meanwhile, get glory and get the point of view.
of Jesus. In the name of Mary's baby, Rock of Ages, Yahweh, Elohim, Prince of Peace, rise up and walk on in God's name. Witnesses for Jesus Christ, as it falls now, you want to take a look, talk to somebody, and look back over your life.